I am the resurrection and the life takes us to the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to a direct encounter with God, with death, with faith, and with the deep and mysterious gift of life that each of us has been given. God is constantly trying to get us to be attentive to the holy and sacred that is going on right where we are in every single moment of our lives.
That's the Reverend David Hodges, and today he brings you a powerful message of faith called We Begin at the End. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend David B. Hodges, rector of St. Peter's Episcopal Church in St. Louis, Missouri. Before taking that role in 2021, he was dean of Christ Cathedral in the Episcopal Diocese of Western Kansas and president and chief development officer of the St. Francis Foundation based in Salina, Kansas. Before that, he was rector of churches in Winston-Salem and Charlotte, North Carolina, and also served on the clergy staff of churches in Alabama and Texas. David is a graduate of Samford University and earned a master's in criminal justice from the University of Alabama. He received his Master of Divinity degree from the Episcopal Seminary of the Southwest in Austin, Texas. David, welcome to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. It's nice to be here.
Well, you were last with us in 2019, and since then you've taken up a new role as a parish rector. What was it about St. Peter's Episcopal Church that prompted you to accept that call?
You know, there were several things. I had some wonderful conversation with a group of people there who were interested in and expressed a strong desire to get outside of themselves and for their church to try to become more involved in the community and to try to do some more significant things in the community, and I was very attracted to that. And then when I had an opportunity to visit St. Peter's and was taken out into the community, I found that what they were saying was really what they wanted to do.
Well, tell us more about the people and the ministries at St. Peter's. How are you reaching out to the community, and what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to start with the second part of that question.
Sure.
What I'm looking forward to is the future, and that was actually part of the conversation that I had with the people at St. Peter's when I was in conversation with them about becoming their priest and their rector, because I'm very optimistic about where the church is going. I'm very optimistic about what St. Peter's can do. St. Peter's has been around for 155 years.
Wow.
And so is well established in St. Louis and in our diocese. And the people of St. Peter's are a group of people who are very dedicated and faithful, not only to St. Peter's, but to the community. They are people who are leaders in the community and who take that role very seriously. And St. Peter's has a history of helping to plant churches, and also was the founder of a significant nonprofit in the St. Louis area. And so one of the things that I'm looking forward to, and that again attracted me to being part of their ministry there, was their desire to find that next thing, to find that thing which might be impactful in the community and which would once again allow St. Peter's to do what it's done historically and has done really well.
It must have been a significant change for you and your family to move from Salina, Kansas to St. Louis and to return to full-time parish ministry. How did the transition go for you, particularly in the midst of the COVID pandemic?
Well, it's been a wonderful transition,
yeah.
But it was a little bit challenging. When I first got to St. Peter's, first arrived at St. Peter's and began my ministry, we were still required to wear masks. We were still socially distancing. And after having been in parish ministry for a number of years before that, It was a very different experience to go into and try to engage with and get to know people at a time when not only were we in masks and being socially distanced, but also couldn't really bring groups of people together.
Right. David, you've had an amazing ministry of serving in the church in a variety of ways, and I'm wondering how it started for you. How did you experience your calling to the ministry?
I grew up in a clergy family. My dad is ordained in the Baptist Church, so that was a significant part of it. And then when I graduated from college, I made a decision to go into law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And so I worked in that field for several years, and that was very formative for me. But it was also a way of helping me to bring together some things that I think that I had probably been trying to discern for some period of time. Mm-hmm. But having those types of interactions with people and experiencing the things that I experienced enabled me to come to a clearer sense of what I felt was a call to the priesthood.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the final Sunday in Lent. We're about to enter Holy Week. I'm wondering how you and your church will observe this deeply meaningful time ahead.
Yeah. You know, this will be the first Holy Week and the first celebration of Easter since the pandemic when we've been able to worship and to come together in ways that we'd not been able to do for that period of time. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have a full complement of offerings for worship during Holy Week, and then certainly a wonderful celebration on Easter Day.
Your sermon focuses on the astonishing story of Jesus' raising Lazarus from the dead from John chapter 11. Would you read it for us?
Sure. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
Such a moving story in so many ways, and obviously there's a close personal connection between Jesus and these siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, although as you will point out in your sermon, we really don't know a whole lot about Lazarus. What stood out for you in this text as you prepared your sermon?
You know, I think the first thing that stood out for me was how often, as a priest, I've used those words, "I am resurrection and life." In our tradition in the Episcopal Church, those are most often the very first words that are said as the service or the liturgy begins. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've worked to try to incorporate those not only liturgically, but also as homiletically into funerals, because I feel like that there's just something about that that really, as I mentioned in my sermon, just cuts right to the heart of the gospel and of who we are as people who say that we follow Jesus.
Mm. Well, your message is titled, "We Begin at the End." David, thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. This is Peter Wallace. This is a big year for the Day One Ministry, but we need your support. If you appreciate the hope-filled messages Day One brings you week after week, please help make this our best year ever. Mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110. Or give securely online at dayone.org. Thank you.
In his poem, Little Getting, T.S. Eliot writes, "What we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from." The story of Jesus and his friend Lazarus is a story of both an ending and a beginning. Most of us know that Lazarus was brought back to life 4 days after his death by Jesus. But what else does this story say to us about starting again from what we believe is the end? Lazarus is someone we know little to nothing about. We know that Jesus loved him, and we know that Lazarus got sick and died in Bethany. But beyond that, there's not much more we can say. There are no records of Lazarus saying or doing anything, no clues to his personality or how he became a beloved friend of Jesus. All we know is that Jesus considered Lazarus a friend, and when Lazarus died, Jesus responded in an incredible way. And it's because of Jesus' response that Lazarus occupies a special place in the Bible. This story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead begins at the end with feelings of helplessness and despair. Martha and Mary were devastated when Jesus did not come in time to help save their brother. Their friends and neighbors who came to be with the sisters must have felt helpless in their inability to console Mary and Martha in their grief. And Jesus wept openly when he approached the tomb where Lazarus had been placed. So we begin at the end, in darkness and grief and in Bethany, only a short distance from Jerusalem where Jesus will face his own death. But then the story shifts gears. From this end, we become aware that something new is beginning. The story of Lazarus becomes a story of hope because Jesus, we are told, walked Lazarus out of the grave 4 days after Lazarus had been placed in his tomb. This new beginning is the resurrection hope that lies at the very heart of our Christian faith. And so when Lazarus was resurrected, the story, which was initially about being at the end and feeling helpless and grief-stricken, becomes a story about a beginning, where we see how God is always working to create and make things new. There are other stories, other accounts related to Jesus raising people from the dead. So what makes this story different? In the first place, the stories in the other accounts are of people who some thought were just close to death, but not yet dead. But that was definitely not the case here. In this story, Jesus arrived in Bethany when enough time had passed that there was no doubt that Lazarus was dead. No one questioned what they would find if the stone that covered Lazarus' tomb was removed. So when Jesus arrived and told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life," we are alerted to the fact that something meaningful, something miraculous, was about to unfold. And in fact, Jesus had signaled this even before leaving for Bethany. When talking to his disciples about Lazarus, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory." So for all who witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus, Lazarus who was most certainly dead, not just near death, it was obvious that what they saw was extraordinary, something that can only come from God. In fact, we're told that some of the witnesses were so impacted by what they saw that they professed their new faith on the spot. Others left to report what they had seen to the Jewish religious leaders. It is clear that for those who watched Jesus bring his friend Lazarus out of the tomb, life would never be the same. The power and presence of God had been revealed. They had seen an ending transformed into a beginning. So what is the message of this resurrection story, this miracle that caused such reaction in those who witnessed it? The message lies in what Jesus said, "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus told the disciples and then Martha, "If you believe, you will see the glory of God." The story of Lazarus is a lesson about faith. Something we hear repeatedly is Jesus prods us to think about our faith, to think about what we believe, even in the times of our lives that feel like endings. How are we to respond to Jesus? Can we respond as Martha did when Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life"? Martha said, "Yes, I believe." Even during her grief and despair, Martha's response was certain, "I believe." How does this story, a story that starts in the darkness of the end and becomes a testament to light and a new beginning, apply to us? It applies because it reveals to us a little more about what it means to die. Death that will come to each of us, no matter how hard we try to avoid and delay it, no matter what scientific breakthroughs come, no matter what medical interventions are possible. Whether death comes to us through illness, or tragedy, or advanced age, it will come. Even Martha struggled to accept her brother's death. In fact, when Jesus arrived in Bethany, the very first thing Martha said was, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And don't Martha's words reflect what we often think? If only I'd been there or done this, if only this or that had been different, if only God had been present and acted. But death, grief, and resurrection are all part of our life with God. Endings are a part of life. And what this story teaches us is that in our life with God, we can be assured that in every end, there is a beginning. Even in death, there is the promise of resurrection. The promise that we will know and experience the fullness of the glory of God at some point in God's time. At our core, each of us wants to find how we can draw closer to God, how we can be connected to God. Each of us wants and needs to know that God is with us, is for us, is near us. Each of us needs to know that even in our darkest hours, there is hope. That as T.S. Eliot wrote, "The end is where we make the beginning." And we have that hope in the words of Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life." Last fall, in the span of a week, I had the opportunity to be part of both a funeral and a wedding. In each of those significant life events, I reflected on a text from the great spiritual writer Henry Nouwen. Nouwen says, "Something very deep and mysterious, very holy and sacred, is taking place in our lives right where we are. The more attentive we become, the more we will begin to see and hear it, the more we will uncover a new presence in our lives." This is true no matter what we are experiencing, whether it's the ending of a life or the beginning of new life as a married couple. "I am the resurrection and the life" takes us to the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to a direct encounter with God, with death, with faith, and with the deep and mysterious gift of life that each of us has been given. God is constantly trying to get us to be attentive to the holy and sacred that is going on right where we are in every single moment of our lives. The more spiritually sensitive we become to that, the more we will uncover the presence of God and experience the reality of resurrection, the beginning and the ending that is always happening. In a sermon he preached on this story of Jesus and Lazarus, Johnny Youngblood says that resurrection is not a thing of the past. Instead, he says, there's one going on. Every time I see a brother come to Christ, there's a resurrection going on. Every time I see a man go back to school, there's a resurrection going on. Every time I see a man hug his son, there's a resurrection going on. Youngblood reminds us that renewal and resurrection are continually available to those who believe, for we are forever raised to new life in Christ. The promise of new life, of new beginnings, contains the possibility of joy if we, as Nouwen urges us, are attentive to the holy and sacred unfolding before us. Eugene O'Neill captured this sentiment in his play called Lazarus Laughed. The opening scene has Lazarus stumbling out of the darkness of his tomb into the sunlight, as if he's seeing the world for the very first time. After the strips of cloth that are his grave clothes are taken off him, Lazarus begins to laugh, and then he embraces Jesus. The very first words he utters are, "Yes, yes, yes." Lazarus then makes his way back to his house, and someone asks him what we all want to know. "Lazarus, tell us what it's like to die." Lazarus begins to laugh more intensely, and then he says, "There is no death, really. There is only life. There's only God. There is only incredible joy. The grave is as empty as a doorway is empty. It is a portal through which we move into greater and finer life. Therefore, there's nothing to fear. There is only life. There is no death." And as he says this, his laughter fills the whole house. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus said to Martha. "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." In every ending, there's a beginning, the promise of new life for those who believe. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? There is no death, really. There is only life. There is only God. Let us pray. For the life that was in the beginning and is now, for the life that is now and will always be, we thank you, O God. In this great river of life that flows behind us and before us, let us know that we are carried by you. Amen.
You've been listening to the Reverend David Hodges, rector of St. Peter's Episcopal Church in St. Louis, Missouri. For a free transcript of his message today, we begin at the end. Call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Keep in mind that Day One depends on the generous donations of our faithful listeners. Please send your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or donate online at dayone.org. And thank you. I'm Peter Wallace. Next time on Day One, we're pleased to welcome the Reverend Jonathan Hemphill, Assistant to the Bishop for Congregational Life in the Southeastern Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Jonathan offers a powerful sermon for Palm Sunday, so I hope you'll join us next week on Day One. The 2023 Festival of Homiletics will be May 15th through the 18th, in person in Minneapolis and streaming online. Preachers, you won't want to miss this year's outstanding lineup of church leaders. For information or registration, visit festivalofhomiletics.com. Our Day One preacher, David Hodges, offers some final reflections on his sermon, We Begin at the End. And David, thank you for your powerful insights into this story of the raising of Lazarus. You said Mary and Martha were consumed with grief at this very personal ending, the death of their brother Lazarus, but then we become aware that something new is beginning. So this becomes a story about a beginning, and we see how God is always working to create and make things new, as you put it. How can we keep this truth in mind when we face what we think are endings, difficult times of loss in our lives?
In my sermon, I referenced something that I had used at a funeral and at a wedding that occurred within just a few days of each other. And it was something that Henry Nouwen talks about when he tries to help us think about the reality that there's always something sacred and holy that's going on right where we are in every minute of every day. Mm-hmm. And I used that at both of those different occasions and events, which obviously were mm-hmm. very different in many ways, because I really do think that that's where we can be if we let God help us to get there, is that that in everything that ends, God is always doing something else. Mm-hmm. And that in the beginnings and the endings, there is the sacred, there is the mysterious, there is that which is so deep and holy and sacred, because that's where God is.
Mm. The message of this story, you said, lies in what Jesus said, those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And you asked, can we respond as Martha did when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life? Martha said, yes, I believe, even before her brother was brought back to life. That's a powerful faith. How might we build that kind of faith in the resurrected Jesus ourselves?
Yeah. I think it takes a lot.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation just recently with a young girl whose mother had brought her in to talk about some of her questions and concerns about death.
Yeah.
And I started the conversation by talking with her about how in the beginning God created us and breathed into us the very first breath, and then we went to the end, and I said, at the very end of the story of God in the Bible, God says to us, I am the beginning and I am the end. Mm. And I think that everywhere between that is this story, of faith, in which Jesus says, this is who I am, and if you believe in me, then that's what you can have. And I don't think it's always easy, just as it wasn't for this little girl who was beginning to have those first, you know, questions about life and the mystery of death and the mystery of life and death. But what this, as you said, this powerful story of how Lazarus was raised from the dead, what I believe it has to say to us is that there is life, and that in every ending there is a beginning, and that's the assurance that we have given to us through our belief in Christ.
Mm. David Hodges, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.